And welcome to another episode of Indie Darlings. We have a wonderful and probably familiar guest to you, Kate Thompson.
Hey!
Kate is actually here from another podcast on Campfire Media.
Aw, crap, a Hellboy podcast.
Is Aw, crap in there? It's just, I thought it was just the Hellboy podcast.
Oh, yeah, Aw, crap's in there.
Kate, you chose the film today that we're going to discuss, Foxfire.
Yeah.
1996. And why did you choose this film?
Okay, so the parameters that you gave me, right? Mm-hmm. So it was either like a 90s movie, an indie movie, or an LGBTQ movie. And it's like, checks all the boxes. Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right, I like this one.
It didn't have to check all the boxes, but it kind of did.
Yeah, I was like, I guess saying all those things in a row made me think of it. And then it's also like a movie. I feel like it's like a gay movie that kind of isn't. And then it's like not a ton of people have watched it maybe. Mm-hmm. So I thought it would be just a fun one to like recommend to people.
You own it.
I do own it. Yeah. Okay. So when I, in like 2008, I worked at a Pathmark, which is like a supermarket. It's like a fucking mid-level supermarket on the East Coast. Uh-huh. And they would have those like bins of DVDs in the supermarket.
This was in a bin?
Yeah, dude. It was in a bin. And I saw it, and like Angelina Jolie's on the front and she's like looking very hot and like kind of butch. And like, I was like, it was like a dollar. So I bought it like not having heard about it at all. I was like, I'm just going to watch this.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness gracious. I heard about this because it was one of the trailers that played on the DVD for Girl Interrupted. And I was just like, whoa, what is this?
For Girl Interrupted, what year did Girl Interrupted come out? Like, oh,
way later.
Yeah, way later.
So I was just like, this is clearly an earlier film. So I don't know why they're playing the trailer for this, but
that's funny.
I mean, okay, so here's the thing. When you said, can we do Foxfire? I'm like, oh, yeah, I've seen it. As I was rewatching it for this, it turns out I haven't seen it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I just thought I did because I saw clips of it.
Oh, yeah.
And as I'm watching it, I realized, what? Oh, my God, I haven't seen this movie.
I mean, it's an insane movie, too.
Okay. Like, so, yeah, it's directed by Annette Haywood Carter, and it is the screenplay, I believe, is by Elizabeth White, and it's based on a book by Joyce Carol Oates.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I did not see that coming. And after we discuss the movie, we can discuss the book because it's very interesting how they adapted it. So it starts off, it's in Portland, grunge music playing, and you see a shot in the woods, mm-hmm. and immediately you see a naked man.
Yeah, just his butt out and like crotch rubbing against poison ivy, probably.
Yes, and he's having his photo taken by a woman who is fully clothed.
Yeah,
and I was just like, that's such a strong start to a film, and
really visually captures the theme of the whole movie.
Yeah, yeah. And then the man being photographed is the girl's boyfriend.
Yeah.
The girl being the main character, Maddie. And, oh my God. it really set the tone, but part of me was just like, can you imagine a teenage boy? 'Cause they're in high school.
Yeah.
Agreeing to that.
Being totally naked like that? No. And, I mean, I don't know.
And she's taking Polaroids.
She's spending, in the first like 5 minutes of the movie, she spends $150 worth of Polaroid film. Like, she shoots pictures of everything.
She shoots it like literally nonstop.
Yeah.
While rollerblading.
She basically makes a movie out of Polaroids. Yeah. While rollerblading through high school.
Yeah. It was just like a punch in the face of 90s of like grunge music, She's dressed like David from Roseanne.
Yeah.
She's rollerblades into class, taking Polaroids, making her 90s girl art.
Yeah. And, man, very 90s girl art.
Yeah. And okay, so they very quickly introduce the character, the lead girls. And okay, so you see a girl being flirted with a girl. I cannot talk. A teacher is clearly flirting with a student.
Yeah.
Named, later find out, is named Violet.
Yeah.
And then we see another girl in the computer lab who's, I think, was supposed to be considered unattractive.
Right, yeah. She's, like, supposed to be the like, homely one of this crew.
And, like, you see her stuffing her face with a donut. It's played by Jenny Lewis.
Yeah, Jenny fucking Lewis from Rilo Kiley is, like, they put a sweatshirt on her and made her be, like,
The homely friend.
Yeah, the homely friend. Like, I guess compared to Angelina Jolie and...
Well, because I was looking at what they're making her watch. I mean, not watch, wear. And I was like, is Jenny Lewis not supposed to be attractive? And at first I was like, did they make her gain... No, they did not make her gain weight. But the clothing she was wearing was extremely unflattering.
For sure. And then because later in the movie she's wearing... I mean,
she slowly starts to get more attractive.
Yeah.
Because that's a sign of happiness. She roams through the bathrooms and she sees Jenny Shimizu passed out on a toilet.
And her response,
take a picture.
Yeah, dude. Like, how do you need your art grade that bad? You want to get into RISD so bad that you're just like ignoring that this woman is fucking passed out with her head on the toilet?
Imagine being 16, going to the bathroom at school, opening a stall and seeing a girl passed out.
Well, I guess so. Their school is like a badass school because it starts with them going through fucking metal detectors and making a joke about AK-47s to the security guard. Like, they're like supposed to be in like a grungy school or something.
Grungy school. Okay.
Listen, Connie, there are so many crumpled up fucking paper towels in the bathroom. That's how you know. And there's writing on the wall.
Okay. They don't have a bathroom attendant, so that's fine. Okay. It sounds like I'm going through this really fast, but the movie goes through it really fast.
It's flying. Yeah. We're going slow. Compared to the pace of this movie.
And then all of a sudden, Angelina Jolie comes strutting in like Johnny Cash mixed with the Terminator. They go into class and they're dissecting frogs.
Yeah.
But they're cutting them while they're still alive.
Have you ever had to fucking dissect a living thing in class?
No. I did dissect a frog in junior high, but it was dead and it looked like it had been for months.
Like, they keep them in formaldehyde. They're not, you're not going to get a fucking live frog, right?
Yeah. I remember in E.T., they're supposed to dissect frogs, but the frogs, they're given this chemical to...
Oh, to put them to sleep, right?
Yeah. So I'm like, the frog is tied to a tray and it's still like squirming. And the teacher's like, cut it open or you're getting detention.
Yeah, dude.
And I'm like, no, this didn't happen.
I don't think so.
And everyone weirdly turns on Jenny Lewis, who doesn't want to do it because it's gross. And they're like, she's emotionally troubled. Everyone knows.
Yeah, she's like fucked up in the head for not wanting to do it.
Yeah, and then...
You just get the asshole, like typical asshole jocks being like, you better do it. Like,
yeah.
You know.
And then Angelina Jolie comes in to the class, unannounced, and takes the scalpel out of her hand, frees the frog, and throws it out the window.
Yeah, throws it out the window to fly free.
It's probably gonna get run over or something.
And then like... Mr. Buttinger is like, you're going to detention as well, because he's threatened Jenny Lewis at this point with detention.
Yeah.
And she's like, Angelina Jolie comes back at him with, I don't even go here. And then she hops out the window herself.
Free
like a frog.
Yeah. Like, I don't even go to this school.
So dumb.
And I remember thinking, why are you here? Yeah,
right. What the fuck are you doing?
Isn't it hard to get
in? She just wanted to get out of the rain?
Yeah, I guess. But why would you go into a school? And why would you go into the classroom?
Just to scope chicks? Like, what is this character doing in school?
It's so insane. And yeah, okay.
I'm so curious about this book to see what the fuck is it even close to anything close to this.
Well, the book takes place in the 50s.
Okay. And so there's no metal detectors.
I mean, not to detect guns, but they yeah, the book is called Foxfire Confessions of a Teen of a Girl Gang. And yeah. It takes place in the 50s, but it's different. It takes place over months. This takes place in 3 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, is it really 3 days?
No, but it
feels like it. It could be.
It could be. I think it's less than 2 weeks because that's how long they get detention.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, there's at least, you know, later in the movie that 2 days pass because they say that Goldie's been passed out for 2 days or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Or like
yeah.
Jonesing or whatever. Okay, we'll get to that.
Okay, so immediately after Angelina Jolie makes her exit, all the main girls that we mentioned are meeting in the bathroom to discuss Mr. Buttinger's behavior.
Yeah.
And they're like, we have to do something. And then Angelina Jolie... Did she come back in?
She's there listening. Like, Jenny Lewis is explaining. What is Jenny Lewis's character? Rita or Red or something? Okay, so she's explaining, like, sometimes he leans in and, like, touches my chest and is uh-huh. just a creep. And then Violet comes out of a stall and is like, she's not lying. He does that shit to me, too.
Yeah.
And then Angelina Jolie is immediately like, well, we gotta do something about
it. You make sure he never does it again.
Yeah. And everybody's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, and people are not clear on what this means.
Yeah.
Also, the part where the teacher molests the girl is very strange because the way he grabs her breast, it's like he doesn't know where it is.
He's grabbing, like, the side. There's no way that he's touching this kid's nipple or
I think the actor was afraid.
I mean, yeah, maybe. Maybe he was, like, directed not to touch her or something. I mean, but you could have conveyed it without being, like... You didn't have to have him pinching anything. You could have just been
He does a weird pinching thing, and it's very... We could have just did a back shot or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so...
When we remake this movie, that's what we'll do.
Yeah, it'll all be alluded to.
Yeah.
okay, so... I wrote down, this movie happens so fast.
Yeah, dude. They get right to it.
And I literally also wrote, scene missing?
What did you feel like in between the bathroom and this?
Well, because they're talking to Angelina Jolie's character in the bathroom, and this is right after she made her, I don't even go to this school line.
Yeah.
Because I was just wanting to be like, there's no scene where the girl's like, who are you? Why are you here?
Yeah. I think the cheerleaders are like, who are you? But everybody else is kind of on board with her crazy ass plan.
Or maybe the school is just so messed up that this is not even that big of a deal.
Yeah. I mean, they're just all fed up with Buttinger.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, that's what I do like about this. Like, I feel like there are certain things about it where it's like, oh, this is like a cool fantasy for like a high school lesbian.
Oh no, fantasy.
Yeah.
Okay. So they kind of try to, confront the teacher.
Yeah.
And they end up assaulting him.
Right.
In the weirdest way.
Yeah, they basically end up kicking him in the balls and then smushing his face down against the fucking desk. And that knocks this grown man out.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, yeah. They manage to, like, subdue him, even mm-hmm. though they're, like, I mean, I guess it's a gang of teenage girls, so that's...
But also...
It's plausible. It could happen.
Okay, so they're all, like, kind of, like, trying to hold him back or whatever. And then Jenny Shimizu's character enters... In the most random way, she literally just enters at the end being like, whoa, what's going on?
Yeah. Like, she just walks in and she's like, yeah, this teacher sucks. I'm in. Like, she didn't even get the fucking rundown of the plan.
Yeah. Like, she made her legs entrance being like, what are you doing here? Yeah. What's happening?
I feel like she must have been up for the same part or something like that. Like,
you think she was up for the role of legs?
I don't think probably not uh-huh. just because it was like the 90s and they're probably not going to give that role to her or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, but I bet, I mean, I've heard like Angelina Jolie say something like when she saw her mm-hmm. for the first time, how she like fell in love with, because they like dated for a couple years,
mm-hmm.
how she like fell in love with her and was like, oh, this character is legs. Like, that's who this is.
On IMDb, they call her Angelina. At one point was Angelina Jolie's mistress.
Mistress. Oh, my God.
I know.
Because she was married at the time.
I guess.
That is so weird.
I know.
It's weird to
call him mistress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To like assign it to, I don't know, I guess
her
so.
Concubine.
Yeah,
I don't
right.
know. It's very strange. So, okay, so they attack this guy and they all just like bail, and you go, and Maddie goes home and you see her room that's covered in stars.
Yeah.
And lots of 90s art.
Like a very cool room. When I watched as a kid watching anything like movies and TV in the 90s, I had like the fucking coolest kids room.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted it all the time. Like I was like, I got to get a fish tank because it's in every cool kid room. Yeah. And like all
cool
that
kid
stupid
rooms
shit.
Were huge too.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were huge. There were stars everywhere, art everywhere. Stuff was glowing.
You better believe. Well, my room wasn't as dark. It was like so dark in this room at all times.
Yeah.
And she has like a clothes rack like from a store.
Oh yeah, it's like on the outside.
Yeah,
like, it's very strange.
Yeah, I don't know. She's in a closet or something.
And then, you see Angelina Jolie just appear in a window.
Yeah,
and
she just Peter Pans her way into this fucking girl's house.
Yeah, and she just lets her. Oh, did you notice windows in movies never have screens?
Yeah, dude, it would have been impossible to get into my house.
Yeah, I would have been like,
I would have had to get a screwdriver to let her into my bedroom as like my childhood bedroom.
Yeah, this huge window with no screen,
and always like there's an amazing roof right underneath of kids' window.
Mm-hmm.
Never.
That's easy to climb into.
Yeah,
and ugh. Yeah. So okay,
what a dream.
So Maddie and Legs. The character's name is Legs.
Yeah, although we still don't know that yet. We don't know her name.
We don't know her name until a couple scenes later.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is bananas. And the sexual tension is immediate.
Oh, also you get to see Maddie doing her art on like the fucking Mac version of MS Paint.
Oh yeah.
She's like adding squiggles to photos of her boyfriend.
Yeah. It looks terrible.
It's so bad. It's so fucking bad.
Oh God. It's everything about it is just 90s delicious.
Yeah, dude.
Okay. So no one knows who Angelina Jolie is. She's not wearing a bra. I wrote that down. Because it's going to come in handy later.
Yeah.
Oh, Kathy Moriarty is the mom.
Yeah, dude. She's like, I love her, man.
I mainly know her as the villain from Casper.
That was my first exposure to this woman.
Uh-huh.
But I feel like since like getting older and seeing her in other stuff, I'm like, oh, you're great.
Yeah. She was like in Soap Dish.
Not a lesbian, but she's in a lot of like, because she's also in But I'm a Cheerleader, another movie that I was thinking
about
for
right.
this movie. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
She plays like fucking counselor at that like gay conversion camp or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, I think maybe she's just such a strong character actor.
Yeah.
That the gays are like, you.
Right. And she has that voice. She has like a very commanding like.
It's almost like retro how shrew her voice is.
Yeah.
Like, you better get out of here.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Her parents did not give two shits.
Oh, fuck about it. When they were like, who stayed over tonight? And then Angelina Jolie clomps down off the roof right outside. They're like, who's that girl? That's my drug dealer. And they're like, you scamp. Like, they just let her fucking get away with it and go to school.
Well, at first they were like, did her boyfriend sleep over? And they're asking like out of curiosity, not like,
what are these like hippie Oregon parents? Like they don't give a fuck?
I guess, but and then they see that it's not the boyfriend.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, you don't have any questions?
Nothing. No follow-up questions whatsoever.
It's so insane, but it helps the movie. And okay, so, oh, there's this scene. I'm curious to know how you feel about this scene. Okay, so the Legs and Maddie are walking along a bridge, and then Legs randomly decides to climb up the bridge.
Yeah.
And then I wrote, Legs has a manic moment.
Yeah, fucking manic depressive pixie dream girl, dude. She's like fucking absolutely insane in this movie. She's crazy, dude.
Yeah, she climbs up to the top of a bridge and Maddie's like, oh God, I have a fear
this
of
heights. Shot looks good. I don't know how they did. Did they do this with a green screen? Because it looks very good.
It looks
if they
very
do.
Real. I was looking for like ropes or belts or.
I didn't see a net. However they did it, they shot it really well because it was convincing as
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, like it was making me nervous. And yeah. For some reason, she takes this girl because she's an artist. She has a portfolio.
Yeah.
She takes her portfolio and climbs up with it on the bridge, and then she accidentally drops it.
Yeah, like a truck beeps and she flings it off the fucking bridge and it gets caught on a little like piece of protruding piece of metal.
But don't worry, she Peter Pans her way down.
She shimmies down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And she rescues
rescues the portfolio.
And Maddie's not pissed.
She fucking takes it. Even like, even the way that she initially takes it before she even climbs up on top of the bridge. She just like, it's like around her shoulder, like a fucking messenger bag kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And she takes it right off. And I'm like, for how, like, how much you want to empower the women around you and shit, you're like being really predatory. Like she does a lot of like really like
weird bully moves.
Yeah, for sure.
And yeah, like I think, I don't know if it's because I'm in my 30s, but I wonder if young me would have been turned off by this.
I don't know. I mean, it's, if Angelina Jolie came up and tried to take my portfolio off my shoulder, I would probably let her.
That's
I would let her take that probably right off of there, dude. I mean, I bought this DVD movie unseen.
She is magnetic. She has a cool Ramones haircut in it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I'm not sure what the point of that scene was.
I think just to show that she's dangerous or something, or that she's like, I don't fucking know. Like
maybe because. But the thing is, she's already done so many things. Like,
right.
Like she didn't need to show more danger.
Yeah, I guess maybe like towards herself, like she doesn't give a shit, or like she's like testing the boundaries of Maddie, who she's like flirting with or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, maybe it was. Yeah, I think it was supposed to be like, Maddie, face your fears.
Yeah. Although it's like wildly too much.
No, I would have been like, you're fine, Maddie. You don't need to do that.
Yeah.
Okay, so the principal, they get called in the principal's office for attacking a teacher or whatever, and they get punished.
Right.
Because the man lied and said that they attacked him. They don't believe that he's sexually harassing anyone. So the girls get suspended.
Yeah.
For 2 weeks. And they decide to hang out.
Yeah, they go to, she's like, listen, I know exactly where to go.
Yeah.
This old abandoned shack full of black mold that I found up the river. It's like the fucking dirtiest looking place. Like, it just looks like an album cover. So they all love it when they go there.
Oh, no. There's something I wrote down. 90s has a thing with, the 90s love dilapidated buildings.
Yeah, like a decrepit old house is like where everybody, it's like The Crow or something like that. Like, it looks like the whole place is dripping and wet.
Yeah. And I, like, okay, granted, Angelina Jolie has nowhere to stay, but I don't think I would want to stay there either, because I'm like, aren't you cold?
I'd be freezing. I'd be like, Maddie, let me sleep on your floor again, please.
Yeah.
Your parents seem chill with it. Just let
your
me stay.
Your parents do not care, Maddie. Let me stay.
They didn't give a fuck. And it looks like you have six rooms in that house.
Yeah, and that little artsy bedroom of yours is huge.
It's enormous.
It's like a bungalow.
It's the entire like top floor of the home.
Yeah, and then, so, but she's like, I have a place you could stay. And I'm like, this crack house?
Yeah, dude. Thanks for the suggestion.
Yeah, it's like, okay, well, I'll put this on my list of maybes, but...
yeah.
So she stays there, and they're all chilling with legs at the flop house. Oh.
She's, like, drinking out of a bottle of whiskey, too.
Oh, yeah, this is in the morning.
Yeah, it's like... they got kicked out of school, like, 9.
Yeah.
Or, like, 8:30.
They get suspended, and so they go home, or they go over to Legs' place, and they tell what happened, and she's, like, taking a swig out of a bottle, and I remember thinking, like, isn't this the morning?
Yeah, dude. I didn't even notice that at first. I'm like, I guess she's, like, still up.
Yeah. The principal has a line that he... is of noteworthy.
Yeah.
He's like, so what are you, some sort of girl gang? Are you girls who run with foxes?
Yeah.
And I Googled that because that's...
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
Because so, I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. I'm like, is that some weird term of phrase? And it's a reference to a book, Women Who Run with Wolves, by Clarissa Estes, which refers to women who are wild, uninhibited, outspoken, and free.
Yeah. I want to read this book.
I know.
I got to read this book and Foxfire.
And I need to get... Oh, okay. okay, so... Oh, yeah, I wrote Legs is drinking in the middle of the day. Okay.
What a badass.
Oh, and there's... Okay, so of
she's
course...
She's so troubled, dude.
There's so many problems. Okay, so... Maddie wants to apply to art college or whatever.
Yeah.
But her portfolio is due tomorrow. And the principal won't let her go to the art room to get her portfolio.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
sounds like something a principal would do.
Right. Yeah. Just like not let a student continue with their school. Like,
so Legs has another manic moment. It's like, well, let's go get it.
Yeah.
It's the middle of the night. They go in through the fucking vent.
Yeah. They shimmy through the vent. Like, and then they're like talking up there. Like, I don't know what vent they climb in through.
The 90s, they were really, they seemed to think that the vent just was easy to get into.
Yeah, or like big enough to support, like to...
a bunch of teenagers.
A bunch of teens, yeah.
And they get in, and okay, so they get all of her Polaroid art.
Yeah.
And Jenny Shimizu, our Goldie, she finds that picture of her passed out on the toilet and...
yeah, with like MS Paint puke all over it and stuff.
Yeah, and she is... kind of hurt.
Rightfully so.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
fucked up. Uh-huh. Because you became friends with her. Yeah. Like, it's like you become friends with her later. Mm-hmm. Maybe take that out of your fucking project.
Yeah. It's like, oh, hey, sorry about that. I didn't know you at the time.
Even if you didn't know her, like.
It's very strange.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you, Larry Clark? Why it's are you taking pictures of this?
Disrespectful as shit.
Yeah. And okay, so she sees this and her immediate response is to try and light a joint.
Yeah, she goes to light a joint.
And then she puts it out the match, like in a chemical fire.
Yeah, there's just like a bucket full of like kerosene soaked rags
yeah.
there.
Yeah, like all the chemicals are in one
yeah.
jar. She throws the match in and it explodes and the world's fastest sprinkler system yeah. takes over. And the cops come like that.
Immediately.
Because they were, I guess, in the area. And they're running through and they manage to outfox the cat.
They fucking Scooby-Doo gang oh, the yeah. school. Like, they run back and forth. And
they're
like,
running for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
That school is soaked.
Nobody slips.
I was nervous because I was just like, you're running inside with water everywhere. It must have been terrifying.
Yeah. It's slightly more water than... Portland, Oregon is used to.
It's just like that school is getting drenched and like
ruined.
Yeah.
And so much of this school, they would have to like shut down the school.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, yeah, the art room's getting destroyed.
These girls just did millions of dollars of damage.
Oh, yeah. Cause I'm just like, the entire school is drenched. Yeah. Like, it's just, okay. All right. So, okay. So they make their way out. And they head back to the flop house.
Well, first they, okay, so they, some, most of the girls get back up into the vent.
Oh, back into the vent, yes.
But Legs and Maddie have to run into a janitor closet where uh-huh. they have to like spoon to hide.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And fucking Angelina Jolie is like putting her fingers all over Maddie's oh, like yeah. mouth to like be quiet.
She has to ever so delicately brush her hands over her mouth.
Yeah.
To make her be quiet. And it's just, it's another homoerotic moment.
So horny.
Dave, I have to make sure you're getting all of this. This homoerotic moment.
Do you
moment.
Feel like you've seen the movie now?
I mean, I'm definitely getting turned on.
Yeah, yeah, it's yeah. Extremely horny.
Yeah, like, so she brushes her fingers over Maddie's lips. And then Maddie shivers. Not because she's cold, though.
No.
Not
shivers
she's
with
cold.
Horniness.
Yeah, shivers. okay, so they go back to the flop house.
Yeah.
And, oh, God.
They're not done setting fires because they light 100,000 candles in this fucking kindling house.
Can you imagine going to the grocery store and getting that many candles? It would just be a grocery cart full of candles.
It would, yeah, it would be full to the top.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, what, when they show the room, because it's... it's literally lined. The whole every inch is covered in candles.
Yeah,
and I was so terrified of like someone turning around and just starting a massive fire.
And I mean, like on set, that must have been
terrifying,
concerning,
terrifying.
Very funny.
Oh, someone calls Goldie a tea head.
Yeah, because she smokes weed.
Yeah, I've never heard.
Me neither. I was like tea head. Tea? Do people call it tea?
It's like THC or something.
I don't know, man. I had the captions turned on because I was like, what the fuck did she just say?
She was a tea head. I was just like, okay. All right.
I got tea on my head, but don't call me a tea head.
Well, you're a real tea head. Look at you smoking that tea.
It's a little Andy Milonakis for you.
But then
It's on Urban Dictionary. Beat slang for someone who smokes a lot of marijuana. Is this like the like the 90s had such a thing for the 50s? You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes, like, it did.
Maybe that's some of it.
Yes, it did.
Okay.
That must be it. It must be it. Their version of being poetic.
Yeah.
Okay, so here comes importance. Angelina and Jolie, they're all talking and feeling proud of themselves for getting that and drenching their school. No one feels bad.
Angie, no one feels bad at all.
Suddenly says, I'm going to commemorate this moment. She pulls out a kit and I hear the girls are like chattering among themselves and I hear someone say magic.
Magic.
It's magic.
It's magic. They have so many candles in there. They're doing such witchy shit.
Yeah. I'm like, I mean, I guess. Okay.
As a 14-year-old, this would have checked all my boxes.
Yeah. I would have been like, yeah, it probably is fucking magic.
Yeah, dude.
And okay. So, but it's a prison style tattoo kit.
Yeah.
And then Angie takes her top off, not wearing a bra.
Yeah, dude.
And boobs. Commemorates it.
Boobs, Dave.
By poking in a tiny flame right above her boob.
Yeah. And they all silently watch her do it the whole time.
The thing is, getting a tat takes a while, and she does the outline, and she colors it.
Yeah, I see that, dude. When I was watching it, I was like, on my little notebook, I was like, colors in like capital letters, because like, she not only does, that must have taken so fucking long.
Yeah.
And it also, she does it pretty well, as though she's done it before, but like, I guess she does have one other tattoo.
I'm so curious to know how they did this shot, because I don't think she has that for real.
I hope not.
I mean, it'd be amazing if she did, but yeah, you just
if it was a slightly better tattoo, it would be cool. Like, I feel like it's close.
I mean,
it's not terrible.
It reads.
It's just flames.
It's flames, but she also colors it, and they must have been silently watching her for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
But then Maddie's like, tat me up too.
Do it to me.
And she takes her top off.
Yeah.
No one's wearing bras. And one by one, slowly but surely, they're all getting the tat. I did notice, though, Jenny Lewis kept her shirt on while she was getting the tat.
Where is her? Yeah, Jenny Lewis. Where does she get the tattoo? Let me see.
I think
she gets it like on her arm. Or it's still on her chest. Never mind.
They all get it on their chest.
Violet also keeps her bra on. She has a bra on.
That made me curious.
Must not have been in their contract or something.
Yeah, I think two of them were like, I'm that's not enough money.
Or maybe they weren't 18. Know what I mean?
Interesting.
I wonder if that, I don't know how that works for movies. I would assume that you can't be topless if you're under 18.
I mean, Violet looked 18, but what do I know?
Damn, Connie.
What do I know?
She looks 18.
I mean, she's 17 going on 30.
Oh my God. You sound like one of the male characters in this movie.
No one's going to believe
you. You're already trash, Violet.
You do it with everyone. Okay, so they all get these tats.
They're smoking weed and they're like sipping whiskey. And
no one's putting saran wrap on these tats.
Dude, these are gonna get fucking gangrenous. So like they immediately just pop on their dirty t-shirts. Like,
yeah. I'm
gnarly.
Oof. Yeah. Okay. Like granted they're small, but
those things are all getting infected.
Yeah. Everyone's gonna get that skin removed. Yeah. Okay. So the football players randomly show up to this flop house to threaten the girls because apparently other girls heard about what happened and they're all signing a petition to get that teacher who's also a football coach fired.
Yeah. He's apparently Coach Budinger and they're like, you better stop fucking telling those
things. It took me a while. I was like, coach, who the fuck is the
Okay. You had to like really be, if you weren't taking notes like me, it might have been easy to miss that Buttinger is the name of the guy, the teacher in the fucking IMDb, very beginning.
And I was just like, it must be based on a real name because that is hilarious.
Yeah, Buttinger. You poor bastard.
Okay, so the football players show up while the girls are dancing, which is not cool.
Oh, you know what? We did the only thing, so significantly, also like the day after that tattoo incident, Maddie leaves and her boyfriend gives her shit about like, like abandoning me basically.
Oh yeah, because she's not real interested in hanging out with him as much.
Yeah, she's like falling in love with Angelina Jolie because you would do it.
Yeah.
And then Goldie goes home and you see that her parents are leaving for like a trip or something. And they're like, don't give a fuck about her really.
Although they're weirdly, okay. They see here's the thing. The tattoo is like right above the breast. So yeah. I feel like it would be easy to hide.
So easy.
So, but for some reason, Goldie's parents see it and her parents are like pissed, but they're also going to leave.
They're just, they don't give a fuck or whatever. Yeah. And like, then Jenny Lewis has it and her little sister makes fun of her. And then we see later, I guess like a day later or whatever, later that day, Legs goes to Goldie's house.
Her and Goldie have like a special connection that I was not aware of in this story.
What do you mean? Like,
she seemed really concerned about Goldie. And granted, Goldie had a lot going on. But the way the story is structured, you're not aware. You're not fully, like, because it's not like Legs is visiting all these girls solo.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, it's primarily Maddie and then Goldie.
Yeah, I wonder why they included this scene, really. I guess it's like to show you that she is drawn to like troubled people, like she wants to help people like that. Yeah. Cause like, I don't know, cause she herself is like that kind of a thing. But by helping, I mean going to her house, opening a glass box that's unlocked with her dad's loaded gun inside it.
They have
and
the
pointing
weirdest,
it at her.
Yeah, they have the weirdest interaction.
Yeah, Goldie's like, go on, do it. Like, what do I care about it? And then, oh, and also she comes in with a Ziploc, a gallon bag full of fucking Chex Mix of pills and is like, this is my stash. And I'm like, what are you talking about? This is like,
oh, yeah.
Like a big ass fucking like Dr. Mario pills kind of shit. That's like,
she has like an insane amount of drugs.
What are you doing?
And it's so insane. Like they're getting money and then Angelina Jolie finds a gun that's just on the table.
Yeah.
And she like playfully aims it at her, which is also very weirdly aggressive. Another weird aggressive move.
Completely crazy.
I've gone shooting before at a gun range and I went with Jesse.
That's very funny.
I know. You should see the video.
You hit the target?
I mean, it's a huge target.
Okay, cool.
But if he even playfully aimed that at me,
we wouldn't be friends anymore.
I would shit my pants.
I wouldn't be friends with him if he pointed a loaded gun at you.
I would probably have burst into tears and like vice versa. And it was just, but they're in her home. She finds a gun and just aims it at her friend. And she's after seeing that it's loaded.
She takes the safety off.
Ugh.
Which shows you she knows how to use a gun, too. And she's like, she checks the chamber and there's a bullet in there.
Do you think her character's killed before?
Fan theory, she killed her mom.
No, that's so dark. That's so dark.
This movie's already fairly dark, dude.
Okay, because there is a point when you see that she has a tattoo of a girl, name that says, is it?
It's like Angie or something like that. Isn't it?
Yeah. Something with
Audrey?
Audrey, yeah. And it has a broken heart next to it with a year.
Yeah.
And then Maddie, being a jealous bitch, is like, so who's Audrey?
Who's that?
And she's like, a friend.
Yeah.
And they're like, what happened to her? And then she explains that it's her mom.
Yeah.
And that she died while
drunk driving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she's like, well, what happened to your dad? He's like, I don't know. So she gives the vaguest answer.
Yeah, like my dad's somewhere. I guess she just never knew her dad or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that turned her into a psychopath that like points guns at people and like fucking starts fires.
Climbs bridges and steals our portfolios. Dude,
just living on the edge.
The football players threaten them.
Yes.
But one of them's cool and likes Rita.
Right. One is like a nice boy and they have like a scene where they like flirt and the friends are there like giggling.
Yeah. And I'm just like, dude, your bros just threatened to jump us.
Right. They're like, we're going to kill you. And then he like stuck around and be like, oh, is it true that he fucking molests all of you? And they're like, yeah, he fucking does. And then they flirt.
Yeah. And I'm just like, not a good time, man. Not a good time.
What is this kid in, too, by the way? He's like in 100 million things.
His face looks so familiar.
Fuck, man. He's in like a lot of 90s movies.
Wait, which one? The one that flirts or the one that threatens?
Flirts. The other one.
The one that threatens has done a lot of 90s stuff, too.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, and then, we cut to the grocery store scene where they randomly decide to learn how to put a condom on.
Yeah. Violet's like teaching Rita how to fucking, how to put condoms on and how to tell how big a dude's dick is or something by looking at him, and then how to, I don't know, just like general things. You're like getting that, like, Violet is a very like confident in her sexuality and like kind of doesn't give a fuck and just enjoys.
Well, she does
fucking
give a good answer. She says, because Rita's like, how can you tell if a guy's good in bed? And she says, by how many orgasms he gives me.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Jenny Lewis actually sings a song.
Yeah.
I wonder if she actually thought of, like, wrote this or if they.
Do you think she asked to do that?
Maybe.
Because it comes out of nowhere.
It truly is, like, completely out of nowhere. Although it does lead to, like, a good joke of, like, it's basically a song, like, that's like, come inside my house or whatever. It's like very overtly about fucking, and Violet gets to be like, you need
song
to get laid.
Yeah. I heard that when they aired this movie, they cut the grocery store scene because they deemed it too graphic.
Because there's like, she's holding a cucumber
and putting a condom on it, and they're talking about masturbating and orgasms and
stuff.
Oh
yeah, they do talk about masturbating. Yeah.
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 Oh
damn, that's a shame. It's like one of the most like cool like girls talking about sexuality parts of the movie, I think.
Yeah,
because the rest of it is pretty fucking
tame.
It's like either tame or it's like some fucked up shit is happening around sexuality.
Oh yeah, or it's about them being victimized by sexuality,
right, as opposed to them just like enjoying it.
And then we get to the scene where Maddie says she loves legs.
Yeah
And it seems like she's about to kiss her, but instead does a weird hug.
She like hugs her instead. She's like not, she like loves her and is like intrigued by her, but basically she said, what does she say? She's like, you are and I'm not. And it's like, oh, fuck, dude, why can't you just be gay in this movie? Like,
so do you think she was saying that she was straight?
Yes, I 100% think that's what it was.
Okay.
But she's like, you're gay, like you're a woman. Like she, even if she's like not straight, she's not willing to be with a woman, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Like she never says exactly. It's literally that. It's like very much a euphemism for, you know, she's just kind of, you are and I'm, like that kind of a thing.
It felt very tame.
Yeah, tame and lame, dude.
To the point where it was confusing.
You guys, yeah, right. Like, just make them gay. I guess, like, they already have an R rating for this movie. It just sucks. Like, I wish another version of it would be made today where it's just, like, I don't, because I'm kind of fine with, like, not having a psychotic representation of a lesbian in a movie or whatever. Like, she's not the best representative for... I mean, she's hot and looks cool, but then she is a violent psychopath.
She crosses the line several times.
Yeah, all the time.
Okay, so next comes more trouble. A cheerleader that bullied them before comes to the flop house.
Yeah,
saying,
full of candles, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Even
yeah.
more candles since the last time.
She's like, oh, I'm scared. Can you, one of you, walk me home?
Right. She's dating Dana, the main bully jock.
Yeah.
And she's like, Dana hit me. So can you, I've heard about your rep. Can you help me?
Mm-hmm.
Takes her up to the bridge and you see like Dana looking down on them as they're walking. So you know something's up.
Yeah. And it's so clearly a trap.
Yeah, dude.
And then a car comes speeding up full of jocks and, intent to kidnap and jump her, I guess.
I think they're gonna
rape her.
Fucking rape her, dude. I think this is like a gang rape threat situation. Because he says something like that where he's like, I'm gonna do what you've been like wanting me to do, or blah blah blah. They say something that's like, we're all gonna fuck you right now. And like then the cheerleader's like, take backs. Like she doesn't wanna fucking go through with it anymore.
Uh-huh.
But it's too late. They're shoving her in a car.
Yeah. and they're about to get away with it, but then suddenly Legs appears.
Yeah, dude.
Like Peter Pan.
Pans out with her fucking knife. Yeah,
and then she has like a switchblade and holds him at holds it to his knife, holds it to his throat.
Yeah,
saying to let him out. So they all the girls suddenly appear and they steal their car.
Yeah, they steal the jock's car and like take it for a joyride.
The thing is, this scene gave me so much anxiety.
Oh my god, man! Like. And it ends about as bad as it could have. Like,
oh, it ended in a way that left me like gagging. Like, it's okay. Okay. First of all, driving in a car full of teenage girls who are all screaming, already my nightmare.
Yeah.
Because I would have been like, guys, I really need to focus on
okay, everyone. Dude, I was never like a crazy driver and it always made me so scared when I was like, because in high school, like so many people drive like that.
Yeah.
Like this.
Yeah.
She's like blowing through red lights and shit like that.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Like she wants to drive, but she's doing a bad job. She's doing a really bad job.
Yeah.
She almost hits a bunch of people.
Mom, she just admitted that her mom died in a drunk driving accident. She's what, being self-destructive, trying to recreate that or something?
I mean,
but she's taking all her fucking friends with her, dude.
Yeah, she really is.
She's bad. She's a bad person.
And they steal the car, everyone's screaming, and then they get into a crash and the car fucking flips several times.
Multiple times into a ditch.
Down a hill. And yeah. Immediately
hits a tree.
Yeah, and I was just like, everyone could have died.
They would all be dead, dude. None of them buckled their seatbelt.
No one was wearing a seatbelt. Everyone paralyzed.
Yeah.
Everyone paralyzed. But instead of that, they all end up in front of a court judge.
They all have cute bruises.
Oh, yeah, bruises that only highlight their cheekbones.
Right, it just, like, contours them.
No one has a broken nose or collarbone. No one's in a neck brace.
Yeah, no one has any stitches or, like, fucking shaved head from, like, brain surgery.
Well, except for Jenny Shimizu.
That's true.
But she had it to begin with. And then you find out Legs' real name is Margaret Sadowski.
Yeah. Although, I don't think Legs is, like, that cool of a replacement name for Margaret.
I mean, Legs just...
They call me Legs. I bet that's in the book.
No,
it's so goofy that it has to be a book.
1950s.
Whenever I'm watching a movie with Jessica Ross, my fiance, for people listening to the podcast, she can always tell if a movie is based on a book because it's just goofy as fuck, and she's fucking always right. It's horrible. I made her watch Practical Magic, which she hates for some reason because it's like a wonderful movie.
It's
love it so much.
Fantastic.
Dave's shaking his head. He's dead wrong. Couldn't be wronger.
It's a magical movie. It's literally a magical movie.
It's incredible. It's incredible. It makes this movie look like, I mean, this movie is already not great, but okay.
This movie's special, but Practical Magic is a fantastic film.
Yeah, and Jess is like, this goofy shit was based on a book. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. She's done it like 5 times, though. She like knows every time. So yeah, it's just so fucking goofy and dumb that I'm sure it's in the book.
Okay, so Margaret gets sentenced because her parents aren't there.
Yeah, she has no... She doesn't, like... Yeah, there's, like, nothing to, like, home her with somebody. It's like, you're going to juvie, bitch.
Yeah, and apparently she's underage, and all the other girls just get to go home. Well, yeah. Since she doesn't have parents, she gets sent to juvie, and Goldie is so heartbroken by this that she goes to score heroin.
Yeah, dude, she like goes under the bridge.
Yeah, she goes to the scariest part of Portland, and
she goes to like a heroin den where like a woman shoots her up for her.
Mm-hmm.
Does that exist?
I don't know.
Yeah,
Dave.
Yeah,
wouldn't you just go? They're coming to you.
Well, it takes a lot of coordination. I mean, think about it. Have you ever put on a watch? Like, it's a weird angle.
I always have help putting on a watch.
See? Now imagine trying to tie yourself, but also shoot and find a vein.
I guess it would. I guess they would want you to... I don't know, man.
It might be a two. You could be a one-man job, but...
Yeah. Anywho's, that's what she's doing.
Okay.
Everybody else is like just pouting and being so sad. Angelina Jolie's in a sweatshirt. So yeah. Sad.
Okay, so Maddie gets a phone call, and I wrote down, she has a creative phone.
What does she have? What does she...
It's her phone is, like, covered in stickers or something.
Oh, man, what an artist. What an artist, dude.
Everything she touches turns into art.
Like, squiggles grow from her fingertips.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and we also see Cindy, the cheerleader, going back to the judge and being like,
I lied.
Yeah, I fucking committed perjury.
Yeah, and she's saying this as the judge is literally walking away.
Yeah, leaving from another, like, trial or whatever. She's like...
I'm just like, I feel like it'd be harder to do this.
Yeah. And also, Cindy would be going away.
Mm-hmm.
She fucking lied. And another girl went to jail for it.
Yeah, that's a big old crime.
Oh, man.
Okay. Okay, so they get in touch.
I'm not a lawyer, but that's a big old crime.
I just feel like there's so much more red tape she would have to cross.
Yeah.
Okay, so the girls, like, connect. And they start talking online.
Yes.
Which is hilarious.
Oh, and Maddie also finally sees the picture of Goldie that she took with the puke and, like, feels bad now. But, like, I don't think she ever apologizes to Goldie for the picture or anything like that.
Yeah. Also,
she just sees it and is like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No.
I'm a piece of shit.
No. I think she sees it and then realizes that Goldie's in trouble.
Oh.
Yeah.
Then she remembers, like, oh. She doesn't just smoke joints.
Yeah, she's not a T head. She's an H head. And that's not safe. They go because they track her down and they find her in their heroin den. And they threaten, which is, I wrote down, Goldie is ironically hanging out with a skinhead.
Yeah, this is like a fucking little neo-Nazi with her
buzz cut.
Yeah, I guess maybe in the 90s, not all girls who had that haircut were Nazis, right? Okay. I don't know. I'm not getting that haircut.
I mean,
or being a Nazi.
I don't know. Or maybe since it's a drug den, they're kind of lax.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, so they help her. They try to help her with heroin withdrawal, which I feel like is way over their heads.
Of course, they, like, offer her, like, pudding or something.
Yeah.
They're like, here, you're sweating. Have some pudding. And they're putting her in this equally, like, a house shittier than the drug den that she just left. At least that place had a fucking, like, lazy boy.
Yeah.
She comes and sleeps on a dirty old mattress in this fucking moldy house.
Yeah, and then why did they just go to Maddie's? Maddie's parents don't give a shit.
Maddie's parents don't give a fuck. Her own parents, I guess they're not on the retreat anymore. I don't know. Oh, at one point, like, Maddie's dad came up to the girls and asked, like, hey, my daughter's been missing for 2 days. Have you seen her? Where the fuck is she? And then he says that and she's there with them and he takes her back and he's like, you're in trouble. Uh-huh. And then Angelina Jolie is like, this is not right.
Uh-huh.
Even though it's like, fuck you, bitch. This, like, they're trying to take care of their kid at this point. Yeah. Maybe they're not great at it, but
yeah.
Oh, okay. Anyway, okay. Sorry.
So, okay, so Legs gets out of jail.
Yeah.
And they decide to try and help Goldie. And Angie's like, I got a plan. So they go to her house. They're still not clear on what's happening. And it turns out she is going to try and get $10,000 from Goldie's dad.
She immediately demands 10 grand from him.
Uh-huh.
To, like, not explaining her plan, not doing anything.
Uh-huh.
Just shaking him down for 10 grand.
Yeah. And they want to take her to rehab. And the dad, understandably, is like, no.
Yeah.
But so instead, they tie him up. Or no, they take him hostage.
She points the fucking gun at him.
Yeah, she points the
gun.
Again. Yeah, again with the gun.
They show you him drinking, like, whiskey out of a fucking tumbler or whatever. And then, like, that's supposed to show that he's, like, abusive dad.
He's a bad guy.
Angelina Jolie walked into a fucking scene with a full bottle of whiskey. Like, they're sending mixed messages.
I mean, she's becoming the person she's holding the gun against, you know?
Yeah.
It's
That's it. It's her downfall, dude.
I also wrote down, they took an aerial shot of them taking the dad hostage.
Yeah, they had, like, a crane for the day and they just wanted to use it.
Yeah, and I was like, I mean, way to utilize the space, I suppose. I don't know.
I don't know.
Okay, so I wrote down. Okay, so she's holding them at gunpoint, and the girls are freaking out.
Yeah.
And I legs has gone too far. And
yeah, she drags him to the same moldy house, but doesn't show him her his daughter.
Yeah, yeah. And Maddie's like, this is not about you. This is about Goldie. And of course, Legs goes on a tirade about fathers don't count.
Yeah. Yeah. Like crying and like, I mean, for how dumb everything is, like, I feel like Angelina Jolie does a good job in this
movie. I thought
movie.
She was great.
She does a great job in this scene. I think, you know, she like, this could have been so fucking bad. It's already just medium bad, right?
Uh-huh.
But she like she does take it to a little better place, I think.
Everything she does is convincing.
She really excels in this movie.
Like, she is just on fire.
Foxfire.
She is on Foxfire. And, okay, so she gets startled again and then accidentally shoots her dad.
Well, fucking Goldie walks up and is like, what the fuck are you guys doing to my dad? And then Jenny Lewis fucking pops.
Yeah.
She like shoots her dad.
Yeah.
And then fucking Legs goes over to him and goes, it's okay. It went clean through. Like, makes a medical assessment based on nothing. Like, she's no shit.
Why do you know this, Legs?
Yeah. How do you, like, was your mom a nurse?
And, okay. So the girls decide, fuck it. We're taking him to the hospital.
Yeah.
And Legs bounces.
Yeah, dude. Like, okay. So all the girls take the dad to the hospital, except for Maddie, who uh-huh. goes to like chase, like looks around this junky ass house, goes uh-huh. to like goes to find Legs on the bridge as uh-huh. she's like about to hitchhike.
Oh, and then Legs asks her one more time if she's going to go with her.
Yeah.
And then this is a well done moment. As dumb as this movie is,
I thought so.
It's Angie says, I'm going to hold my thumb out like this. And when the car stops, your heart will tell you where to go.
Yeah.
And then a truck pulls and then she goes, I'll never forget you.
Yeah, dude. She's like done. And like, you know what I do wish though? I wish that Angelina Jolie's last line there was, I don't love that line. I think she's like acting the shit out of it.
Uh-huh.
But then she goes, you're always in my heart or something like that. She's like, uh-huh. you're in my heart, Maddie. Uh-huh. And like taps her fucking hand to her chest like that. And I was like, I wish she just cried and like went into this truck. I also love the confidence that she's like, I'm going to stick out my thumb. The first fucking car that comes by is going to pick me up because I'm goddamn Angelina Jolie.
Oh, yeah.
So you can choose whether to come with me or not.
Oh, man. This girl never not having a moment.
Yeah.
And so, this movie's wrapping up.
Yeah.
A voiceover wrap up. Oh, this is great. She talks about how she's traveled everywhere. Art museums, bus stations, airports.
End of list.
That's it.
I get off the airplane. I get on a bus. I go see the art.
And
half the world.
And then she says she never sees Legs again. But they show her back at that bridge, climbing up and walking like Man on a Wire style.
Terrifying. Again, very well done. I don't know how they fucking faked it.
I don't know how they did the shot.
They
but
couldn't have done it for real because the insurance on this movie would have been insane.
True. Unless it just didn't insure it.
Just put this chick's life in danger.
Okay, so this movie, I think for coming of age lesbians, I think this is required viewing.
Yeah, I think so. That's why I wanted to bring it to the table here, because I feel like it's underviewed, right?
Mm-hmm. I would love to read the book it's based on, because it takes place in the 50s, and it takes place over, like, a year instead of 2 weeks like this. So it makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
And also, it's very different, and Joyce Carol Oates just sounds... It doesn't sound like she would have written this movie.
Yeah. Like, I mean, whatever the interpretation of this, it's like, I'm sure it's insane.
If people liked this movie, what are other movies you would like to recommend?
I would say Definitely, but I'm a cheerleader.
Oh, yes.
I think it's of course, like, it's not a melodrama like this. It's way campy and, like, uh-huh. I mean, it does have, like, extremely dramatic, like, silly moments, but it's, like, overall kind of self-aware and also has, what's her name, the mom in it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Also, another movie. Whoa! Also, another movie that I was thinking of for the... for this podcast, but I decided not to do because it didn't really check indie, is Bound. Another amazing movie, the Wachowskis' first movie that they directed. And it's like, it's a better movie than this, but I thought that just Foxfire is just not seen as often. But but Bound has like Jennifer Tilly and Gina Gershon in this like noir, like crime thriller. And like Joe Pantoliano or whatever is in it. And like, it's great. I think that's legitimately like an excellent movie. And I also own it because I'm just off the charts gay, dude.
You have to collect these.
Yeah. So I'll let you borrow that. All listeners, I'll let you borrow it.
Kate, thank you so much for coming.
Dude, thanks for inviting me to be on to talk about this fucking movie.
Is there anything you would like to plug?
Also on Campfire Media, like we said, All Crap a Hellboy podcast. If you like Hellboy, you know, or if you're just trying to, you've never like read Hellboy before, we read it chronologically so you can like read along with us. And then if you're in the LA area, you can come to Mod Night and see me on, do like sketch shows there. I just got on a new team, so I don't know what the team's called yet, but
Kate's an actor.
Yeah. Come watch me act and sketch stuff. And yeah, that's it.
Okay. And if you liked what you heard, you could rate and subscribe and rate us on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, Campfire, and check us out on Campfire Media. We're also on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook under Indie Darlings Podcast. Thank you and good night.
Yeah.
Do you like short stories? Is life getting in the way of you enjoying short stories? Well, Campfire Media's podcast Stories But Shorter has got you covered. Each week, a published author comes on to read one of their fantastic short stories, and then they talk about it with the host, me, Cassie Jerkins, and my producer, Jeremy Schmidt. Enjoy a short story on your way to work, discover great writers, and feel a little more cultured. Download and subscribe to Stories But Shorter on Campfire Media or wherever you get your podcasts.
Campfire.